Welcome to the Nova Churches podcast. We are a vibrant, dynamic, multicultural church in Alexandria, Virginia. Join us at 11 a.m. on Sundays. For more information, go to www.thenovachurch.com. We're excited to share this week's message with you. God bless.
Matthew chapter 6, very, very excited to be in the pulpit again. Two great weeks of great speakers. How many of you enjoyed Pastor Jamil last week? He did a tremendous job, and dear friend of mine, always love him, and Bishop Hurley the week before, very excited to be back though. And I have a word from the Lord for you today. Amen? And it's for everybody in this place. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19, says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures." Everybody say treasures. Treasures, treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, everybody say treasure, there your heart will be also. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, unknown treasures. Unknown treasures. I want you to turn to two or three people before you're seated and tell them, unknown treasures. And say, what's your treasure? Do you know your treasure? And you may be seated. This past week in our Nova group, we were talking and having some conversations, great conversations, and something was said that struck a chord that I could not shake. When I left that evening, I was driving home and was reflecting on our group and thought about what had come about. And then the next day, just something had gotten into my spirit, if you will, based on our conversation. Our lesson was on generosity and living unselfishly. And we were having a really great discussion about, do circumstances increase or decrease the willingness to be generous? And that's a pretty good conversation to have. And we talked about, well, what if you know the person and you know their circumstances? Are you more willing to give somebody something? Or what if by chance they are taking advantage of you? Are you willing to give somebody? And we talked about, is it maybe a relative or a friend that keeps coming and asking for money? At what point does your generosity change or alter? What point does your generosity cease to be generous? And you say, okay, that's it. It was a really good discussion, very, very stimulating in the context of what we do and how we operate. And in the lesson, it began to talk about treasures, and we went through different types of treasures, and it got into my spirit about sometimes what we happen with treasures today. What I know is this, is that before we get into the message and what God was working on me, we must examine the idea of treasures. And treasures are defined differently based on each individual. And for the sake of a range of definition, let me see if I can give you a ballpark idea of maybe perhaps what we're working with when we talk about the term treasure. Usually, a treasure can be defined as something financial. It could be defined as time or talent. It could be defined as relational, possessional, or even personal. That is the working definition today for those of you taking notes on what is a treasure. Time, talent, it very well could be financial, it could be relational, possessional, or personal. But Jesus gives us an insight into a kingdom principle on the issue of a treasure. He says everyone has some treasure. It is a main object in life. And Jesus is asking in the text that we read in Matthew, where he says, hey, is it going to be transient or is it going to be eternal? And he warns and gives this nice little warning to the people, saying that the earthly riches may disappear. Jesus specifies two unique responses in Matthew where he says there's moth and rust. And why does he mention moth and why does he mention rust? Because in the Bible, moth is never, ever mentioned in all of the references as something good. Why is it? Because no one has a moth for a pet. I've never met someone that says, you know what I do? I collect moths. I've never met someone that says, oh, yay, there's been a moth that I've got to interact with, and I'm so thrilled. You never hear somebody say, oh, look at that cute moth. You may hear, oh, look at the cute cat, which I don't know about those people. You may say, oh, look at that cute dog. You know, you may say, oh, you may even be a fan of birds or fish. Oh, look at the little Nemo lookalike, the little clownfish, right? You may love certain animals, but nobody ever says, yay, a moth. In fact, I would put it in the category as a cockroach. You never find people say, yay, there's a cockroach hanging out. Look at what I've discovered today. You never hear people say, yay, there's a snake. Those are this category of animals that never people are excited to interact with. For me, it's mice. Anybody scared to death of mice? Or, you know, Mickey Mouse he seems cool, but real life, I don't interact with those things, right? And rats, they just don't, you know, Ratatouille's a great Disney movie, but I don't like to interact with those things in real life. And there's things that usually whenever you've discovered that you've interacted with a moth, it's probably because you've got a hole in your favorite shirt. And you're like, wait a second. I'll never forget I was living in a time where I was living in a house with six other young ministers, and we called it the bachelor pad. And as we were there, I decided the best room in the house was one that was attached on the outside of the house. So you had to walk outside and then go into my room, which I thought was beautiful, until one day I discovered I put on a shirt and it looked like it had been attacked by a BB gun. There was about 40 little holes in this thing, and I thought, what has gone on with my shirt here? And come to find out, I realized after just a few moments, a moth had been enjoying lunch and dinner and breakfast on me. But why does Jesus specify a moth? Why does he specify rust when he's talking about a treasure? Well, that's because both of those are destroying agents. And moth refers to what destroys cloth of any sort. And usually in the Bible, clothing had value. In fact, usually it was one of the most valuable possessions, is a fine linen or something, because it was something that you had possession of. And he reveals, Jesus, that the agents of destructions are determined to bring harm. He said, be careful when you've invested your treasure in something that can be destroyed. Be careful, because their properties are there to destroy. They're there to hurt. They're there to harm. Let me just say this. Be careful when your treasure is in the wrong place. Be careful when your treasure is invested in something that can be destroyed easily by somebody else or by something out of your control. Be careful when your treasure is in something that very well can be taken from you. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked. It could be something like your job. Could be something where one day you're working and the next they walk in and say, hey, we're going to have to let you go. We're making some cuts. It could be something where your whole identity is tied up in your looks until you wake up a few years later and realize, hold up a second, who's this guy in the mirror? Can I get a witness, somebody? Or what you really find is when you look backwards in the pictures and say, oh my word, what has happened to me? Right? Can I get a witness in the house? Are there any honest folks in here? Amen, right? It's tight. I must be preaching good, right? There's conviction in the house. Now watch What does that mean? It's interesting when you talk about there's properties like rust that are designed to wear down and to erode the very thing in which you did. That's why they tried to avoid rust. That's why you put things on your car to try to slow down the erosion of what very well could be something that is needed to you. Hear me today right now, and if you're taking notes, you probably want to consider this, but a misplaced treasure and a misplaced heart and misplaced priorities will always erode the call of God, the will of God, and the anointing of God. Always it will do that. It may, what we find, be something that if we're not careful, we have misplaced it, and it will begin to attack the very foundation and the very fundamental nature of what God wants to do. That is why the author of Hebrews chapter 12 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely to us. It may not happen at once. For no, it may not happen overnight. But a misplaced priority, it may not occur in an instant, but slowly and surely it begins to chip away at the heart. And what it does is it causes what the Bible says is a hardened heart. A misplaced treasure is revealed in things in which the heart has become hardened. When you're more in love with the work of God than the Creator Himself. When you're more in love with what God has given you than the walk with God that He used to have with you. Can I get a witness, somebody? A misplaced treasure is revealed when you can't worship, when you can't lift your hands, when you can't say, I love you, Jesus, when you can't say, hallelujah. There's a problem that's an indicator that the treasure has shifted away to another place. When you can't recall, when was the last time I wept in His presence? It's an issue and a sign that there's a hardened heart that very well could be because our treasure has shifted. It has moved. It has gone to another place. It has gone to some security that is no longer found in Jesus. And Jesus points out that the place we choose for our treasures tells us something about ourselves. For He clearly does not describe treasure in any way. Jesus uses this very ambiguous term. He leaves the vagueness of it when the speaking, so it's applicable because treasure is dependent to the individual. But clearly, He means it's what one prizes the most, what one values above all else. Now that's our foundation. Buckle up. Are you ready to go or what God set us for today? Somebody say amen. So what does that mean? Well, let's examine unknown treasures. And let's examine misplaced treasures. For we find an example of somebody like this is Samson in the Old Testament. He is an example of an unknown treasure. He set aside the call of God. He set aside what God wanted to do in his life because he did not value what he had. And therefore, it was easy for him to sell it at a discounted price. What a tragic testimony that some of the things Samson's known for, a legacy, was that it is discounted God's plan because he did not value the thing that his parents invested in him. Let me remind our church today that he deserves more than a discounted walk with God. That he didn't go to the cross so that we can give him just the leftovers, but he's asking us to give him it all today. He didn't just go to everything that he went for our sins, and he didn't say, hey, I'm going to do this just so you can give me a little check on the box, but he doesn't deserve a discounted walk with God today. And hear me today, sometimes the things of life cause us to be a little callous, and I'm just doing this because I'm supposed to do this, and that's good that you're doing it, but the question is is it because our treasure has shifted to something more important? When we're more passionate about things of the world than things of God, there's a problem. When we're more passionate about the basketball tournament than we are the things of God, that's a problem. Hear me, somebody. When we're more passionate about our job and going to work on Monday than we are coming to church, that's a problem. Let me just take a good shot. It's amazing what people do for gold that they won't do for God. Can't get to church early, but my God, they'll never be late to work. Even fighting traffic. I know I'm just going to get here just to bare minimum. Just as long as I'm here, I'm sure God's happy with that. But ask the boss to put you on a special project. No problem. I'll work a little later tonight. Why? Because I have to. I'll miss dinner with the family. I'll be late and skip group. Why? Well, because I have to. It's something I need to do. It's something I've got to do this. Why? Well, it's amazing sometimes when you have to do those things, but when you get to do the things for God, we just set it aside. What we'll do for gold that we won't do for God is astounding. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, hey, I'm sure the Lord's happy with me, right? Well, that's between you and God to decide. I'm just here to challenge you with what God's put on my heart. But I feel that there's a treasure issue here. Because Samson discounted his commitment with God. Samson, watch this with me, decides, hey, I can just go through the motions. Now, if you've got your Bibles, I want to show you a couple things this morning, and I want to show you kind of what the Lord started working on me on Wednesday night and Thursday all day when I was preparing the message, that he said, you know what, there's sometimes discounts that happen, and it's discounted because they don't value it. That's why a discount happens, because it's valued less than what it once was. See, that's the beauty of marketing, and Jared, our marketing guy, right, can help me out with this, right? But that's the problem with marketing, right? Sometimes they may come out and say, hey, it's valued at this, but if they don't buy it, you know, I love the clearance section. Can I get a witness, somebody, right? That's all my game, right? I'm not buying anything full price, right? Let me get a discount on this. I was in Israel, and one of our friends that were there, and he was a hoot, because you bargain over everything. And we were in this really nice store. We were in like a shopping area, and we walked into Zara. Everybody know what Zara is? Like a store in the mall, Abercrombie. Some of you shop at Zara, okay?
There are times in life where we no longer value the things in which we used to have a value on. And so Samson, we find in Judges 13, shows the erosion of a treasure he didn't even realize he had. It was an unknown treasure. Because he's called by God, used by God to judge the people. He's God's chosen. And at the end of Judges 13, Samson is used by God, and we find the very next verse in Judges 14:1. The Bible says that he sees a woman, somebody of the Philistines, and we find that he marries the woman, because in verse 4 and 5, he says, because she is right in my eyes. And his parents say, whoa, 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 what are you doing? This isn't the right decision, Samson. And here's the problem is, when you are blinded by a misplaced treasure, people can't talk you out of it. Willing to sacrifice anything and everything. Blindness with no regard. Why? Where's your treasure? Because he seen a treasure that he thought he wanted. He thought, hey, this is an unknown treasure that I'm willing to do everything. People tried. Parents tried. Yet why would he proceed against wise counsel? Because where the treasure is, there your heart is. For in verse 21, we find that Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The heart is deceived. Now, if you've got 1 John, turn to 1 John with me in your Bibles. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, 16 and 17 give this glimpse into the idea of a treasure. So watch while this goes down. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So it's a heart issue. That's the treasure. Watch what 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says. Do not love the world, heart, or the things of the world, heart. For if anyone loves the world, heart, the love of the Father is not in him. So watch this. That's where we normally stop. But watch what verse 16 says. For all that is in the world, number one, the desires of the flesh, treasure issue. Could your treasure be tied to what your flesh wants, not to what he wants? Oh, come here, somebody. He said it's a flesh issue. Oh, no, I can't be single. It's a flesh issue. Your treasure is in the security of someone else, not in the security of God. Your treasure is in your 401k, not in the things of God. Your treasure is in your next trip, not in the things of God. Your treasure is moving from these things. What is that? Desire of the flesh. I want to do that. I want to sin. I want to do those things. What? It's a treasure issue. It's a heart issue. He said, don't love the world. He said, because watch this. He said, it's the desire of the flesh. Everybody say flesh. Now catch this. And he said, then the other issue of a treasure of a heart issue is, watch this, and the desires of the eyes. Where did Samson go wrong? The eyes. He said, when I saw her, she's good for me. I want her. Go get her for me. This is a treasure I've got to have because I seen it with my eye. I've got to get this. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you put in front of your eye. The Bible says, for mine eye affecteth mine heart. Hold up, somebody. Are you catching this? What you see affects your heart, which affects where your values are, what you think is important, where you're willing to worship, where your treasure is. Because it's an eye issue. That's what he's saying. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. Well, what's the world? Eyes. When you see stuff, be careful. And then he goes on to say in verse, the third part of that, and the pride of life. Could it be that some of our treasures are tied to a pride issue? And the heart is following that because it's a pride issue, not an eye issue, not a flesh issue. He said it's a pride issue. I didn't think you all would shout over that, but that's pretty good preaching. I think I'll say amen to myself. Go ahead and keep preaching, preacher. Okay, thank you very much. So watch this. He said it's a pride issue. Where did Samson have misplaced treasures? Pride issue. I want her. I'm not willing to listen to that person. I want her because she's good for my eyes. I see this thing. And watch this. And the world is, watch this, in verse 17. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. It's a treasure issue. It's a heart issue. Samson ignored the voice once, but watch this. The second time, Samson doesn't even ignore the voice. Are you ready? Turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 16. Turn two chapters over. And what we find is Samson gives this beautiful example. I should have had you hold your finger in Judges 13, but my bad. So watch this. In Judges 16, we find Samson goes and he sees this girl and he says, I like the girl. She's good for my eyes. Parents, go get me the girl. Even though she's an enemy of God, she's not good for him. She's unyoked. She's unyoked. But watch, he's unyoked with an unbeliever and he says, I want this girl. Called of God. Anointed by God, used by God, makes the wrong decisions. So watch this. You would think that he'd learned the first time, but in Judges 16, we see in verse 1, in Samson, 16:1, Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a prostitute and went in to her. Samson now already married his wife. Wife died. The Philistines burned her to death. Now Samson goes in and he says, there's a prostitute. I seen her. Never got the treasure issue right in his life. He never understood the kingdom principle of a heart issue that is where your treasure. His unknown treasure was always in what can I see. And watch this. Are you ready? This is so good. So watch this. 16 verse 1. Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a prostitute, and he went into her. Verse 4. And after this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. He didn't love Delilah. He lusted after Delilah. His treasure is he saw her, and then after he slept with her, then he fell in love with her. Why? He fell in love because his heart had put the treasure there. His heart had already interacted with that. His heart had misled him to the point that he thought, this is what I want. I love you, Delilah. Only to understand that it would be his downfall because he never got the treasure issue right in his life. It was an unknown treasure that he thought was what he wanted. He thought was the right thing. He thought was the right way to go. He thought it was the right thing. But the whole time, it was the wrong way. Because he was following by the flesh, the eyes, and pride. Oh, hear me today, somebody. The treasure led Samson to a place of pain and sorrow and regret. In contrast, we find that the treasures on earth, we see Jesus gives an alternative, and it is heaven. And the Apostle Paul gives us an example in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. For Paul says, whatever I gain, I have, I count it as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. Where's Paul's heart? It's to heaven. He said, I'll give it all up to find Jesus, to know Jesus. What's Paul saying in the verses before that? I didn't put that in there for the sake of time. But Paul says, you know what? I was the best of the Hebrews. I was a Pharisee. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Read Philippians 3, 1 through 6. You'll find where he says, I am dropping it. He's like, I am the who's who. I have a pedigree a mile long. I have a rich heritage. I have every right to say, who am I? I had it all. And he says, I'm willing to give it all up. My treasure is so that I may know Jesus, that I may gain Christ. And watch what he says in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in death. Paul is saying, what I'm willing to lose is really I'm willing to gain. Because nothing in a pedigree, in a heritage, in this world, in this life that moth or rust can corrupt can compare to knowing Jesus. Regardless of suffering and regardless of pain, regardless of loss, it's really not a loss. It's a gain if I know him. And if I want to be like him, I'm willing to give it all up that I may know him. Paul's treasure is how he navigated those things. And he's saying, I'm willing to give it all up to find a better way and a better place to be like him, we must be willing to give it all up. So we know today what we love and what our treasure is. We all have something that we love, and that is our treasure. My question to you this morning is, what is the treasure in your life? Everybody has one. Is it known or is it unknown? Matthew chapter 13. Turn to that with me. There's one scripture that Jesus shows about a treasure. Because there's unknown treasures. And the question is are there treasures in your life that you thought that was important? Oh, yeah. I can't miss that. I've got to be a part of it. You don't understand, Pastor. But what if you are like a man in the parable who owns a field but is unaware of what he has? In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44, Jesus gives a one scripture parable not found in any other gospel, not found in Mark, not found in Luke, not found in John. Jesus drops a parable that Matthew relates in a one scripture verse. He gives a brief expansion talking about a treasure. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure. Everybody say treasure. Hidden in a field. It's unknown. Which a man found and he covers up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells everything that he has and buys the field. That's the excitement. Now watch this. We find that in the principle, the focus is often on who? The finder, who may not yet have possession of a treasure, but is galvanized into action by the joy and the prospect of possession. Let me share this morning that if you are on a journey looking for something more in your walk with God, looking for something more in your journey with Christ, you're looking for more of the Lord, you're in the right place. Today is your day that you can decide, I'm going to get more of Jesus. I want to find the Holy Ghost in my life. I want to get His Spirit living inside of me. And I want to know Him and I want Him to live inside of me and to help transform me. And we find that that is something that people are the finders. And with our finder of the treasure, the question is, what will secure the ownership of the treasure trove? Can you imagine with me? You're out in a field, and you're digging, and you find this huge pot of gold, and you're like, yo, this thing is, I don't even know how much this is worth. It's insane. And he buries it back up. He goes and sells everything that he has. He gives it all up because he understands what he can gain. He gives everything up. Why? I'm sure people thought, are you nuts? What are you doing? Because he understood what he could possess. It was ownership of the field. And ownership of the field does not come easy. It usually involves a totally reordering of priorities, since to achieve ownership, he had to give it all away. He had to liquidate everything. And I'm almost done. Brother Mike, come on up. Everything must be focused on a single goal. I got to get the field. I got to sell everything I've got. Nothing else will matter. Let's all stand. Watch this. So the man who sells it all. We'll try that again. So watch this. The man who owns the field. We find, sells it to this guy who is the finder. And the Bible says that it was with great joy. It was with joy that he's selling all this stuff. it wasn't with sadness or with sorrow. He wasn't lamenting what he was giving up. Why? Because he understood what he was about to gain. He understood what he had. His heart was understanding, they don't even know. They're going to be talking about me for decades. They don't even understand this. And oftentimes that is where the story stops. But what about the other side of the story? Or in my favorite person, Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. That's my best Paul Harvey voice. I practice that. Now watch this. What about on the other side of that story? Ready? What about the man who owned the field? Ooh. Hold up. What about the man who owned the field? Who was sitting there in his possession with great riches and an unknown treasure within grasp and within reach. And he probably thought, this guy's coming to me. Can you imagine? Somebody comes to you, says, hey. I often like to think to myself that, like, this is that in Texas or where there's oil, right? Somebody comes to you, hey, buddy, I'm going to make you a deal you can't refuse. I'm going to put a couple zeros on this thing, and I just think, like, there's going to be a big hat, right? And I'm going to make you so rich. You don't want this old nasty piece of property anymore. You just come right on over here and let me. You know what you want? You want to move to the beach or Beverly Hills. This is actually the Beverly Hills theme song, right? Wait, who's that? No? The Clampets? Jed Clampett? What is that? Right? Hillbillies? Is that right? Okay. That shows you. You know what? Stay on your notes, folks. Stay on your notes, okay? It's like the Hillbillies of Beverly Hills, right? That's the theme song, right? He's out there, shoots, and then the oil. Hey, I'm going to make you rich. Why don't you move out somewhere nice, right? Oh, okay. Not realizing, oh, well, this guy's willing to give me a good value for it, probably even above price. Probably, hey, he's probably willing to give him above asking price. Could you imagine somebody comes to you and say, hey, what's your house worth? I'll double it. You'd be like, where do I need a sign? Right here. Show me the money. Like Jerry Maguire, show me the money, Jerry. Show me the money. Done. Sign that mug off. It's yours. I'm sure that he got above value of asking price, because in context, you never consider the man who owns the field, who had the treasure within his grasp. The man with an unknown treasure sold it because he didn't know what he had. He sold it and he gave it away and he didn't even know it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, are you giving away a treasure that you currently have and you're not even aware of it? Sacrificing family, sacrificing kids, sacrificing your walk with God, sacrificing the things that matter because you're chasing after a treasure that moth or rust can easily take away. And the treasure that you own is the one that maybe you don't even know you own right now. For some and most, it may be the treasure of your time. We're saying, God, I can give you some money. That's no big deal. I'm willing to tithe. There's my offering. That's fine. But God, don't ask for my time. It's my most valuable asset. Can't get more time. God, I can maybe give some possessions up, but God, don't ask me to serve. Pastor, you want me to give up a Saturday to go help some church I ain't even going to go to? You must be crazy. Treasure. Your treasure of your time. God, help us today. Because where your treasure is, there's your heart. The question is what's your time inventory looking like in the eyes of God? Do you spend more time outside of work and sleep? Where do those hours go? Where do those other hours of the week go to? The 4, 5, 6 hours every single day that are not working, that are not sleeping. Where are those hours? Is maybe what the Lord is asking us. Because are we investing in a treasure? Oh, the Lord knows I've got to relax. The Lord knows I've got to just take some me time. The Lord knows I can't read my Bible every day. But sure, I can turn on the TV every day. Or I can catch the news every day. What's our time looking like? What's our talent looking like? God, am I giving you my all in my time, in my treasure? Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your time? Where's your treasure? Are you like the man who owns the field and don't even know what you have? As one day we will be sitting there, perhaps you're on your deathbed with your last breaths, examining the years that you were given and thinking to yourself, I wish I'd have prayed more. As you're about to go meet your maker, I wish I'd have read my Bible more. I wish I'd have had just one more Sunday. Could it be saying, God, I wish I had just given you a little bit more, just an extra 30 minutes, an extra hour on Sunday? Maybe it's, I wish I could do anything I possibly could to serve. I wish I could have invested a little more in my friends to tell them that there's a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. For he gave it away. And he didn't even know what he had until it was too late and the ownership was gone. One of my favorite movies as of the last year or so is that musical, The Greatest Showman. Because the arc of the movie is that this guy comes from nothing. And then he literally sacrifices his family. And he's going and traveling and meeting kings and meeting queens. And the whole reason he got to that is so he could treasure what he valued. He wanted to give his wife something that he couldn't provide as a child. He wanted to give her a big house. He wanted to give his kids ballet slippers, because when they were poor and he got laid off, she didn't have ballet slippers. And then there comes a point in the movie where she's doing ballet and looks out in the crowd and sees her mama and sees her sister, but there is no dad. And when he loses it all at the very end, he realizes, I've done stuff for their cheers and chased it for years. And I think to myself, how many people can relate to that, that one day they'll wake up and realize, I didn't even know what I had until it was gone. In Israel, there's a museum with the Dead Sea Scrolls. And the Dead Sea Scrolls had 10,000 pieces, 950 scrolls. And in 1946, some shepherds are walking by. And they're taking some stuff and throwing stones into a cave. And as they throw a stone into a cave, they hear it hit a noise that doesn't sound like normal rock hitting rock. They go in to investigate, and they find some scrolls. They don't even know what they have. They go home, and they're opening them up. They're hanging them on a tent pole. Occasionally, they'd show them to people, hey, look at these really old pieces of paper I found. They go and decide to sell them, and they go to a dealer in Bethlehem. The dealer looks at the scrolls and says, quote unquote, they're worthless. These things aren't worth much. In fact, they may even be stolen from some synagogue. Not going to help you out. They leave. They then go to one other place, to an antique dealer, who looks at the scrolls in 1946 and examines them. Says to the shepherds, I'll buy these from you. And he sells them to the equivalent of $97.40 in 1946. November 29th, 1947, the same day that Israel becomes a nation, a man who has the scripts writes in his diary, I have the most important Jewish artifact in my hands. 6 months later, he sells the Dead Sea Scrolls for $250,000, or what would be approximately $2.3 million today. What's fascinating is what one guy sold it as worthless, and one shepherd said, it's not much, I'll buy it from you for $97. Turn around, and when he realized what he had, sold it for $250,000. That poor shepherd probably thought to himself, I didn't know what I had. And neither did that man in Bethlehem who said they're worthless. Today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I close with this thought. Do you know what you have? The man did not value it who discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls because he did not understand it. Therefore, he did not value it. Once someone understood what they had, the value was priceless. Today, what you have is priceless. The question is, do you know what you have? Or is it unknown treasures that are determining your conduct? Today in this place, this is a personal altar call. This is an altar call in which I want you to examine your heart and your mind and ask, where's my treasure? Do I know what my treasure is? If you don't know, where do you spend your money? Where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your talent? What's most important? Possessional, relational. That'll tell you where your treasure is. Because where your treasure is, your heart is. I want you to come down to this altar. I want everybody to come down to this altar. And I want you to find a place that you can begin to say, God, I want to give you my heart today. I want to give you, God, all that I am. I want to give you a few moments. Now's the time to come down to the altar and to understand this is an opportunity for me to make sure that, God, what I have is I give unto you. Lord, I seek you today. And God, it's a treasure I want to know. It's a treasure I want to find. It's a treasure I'm willing to invest in. It's a treasure. It's a treasure. It's a treasure. And the question is have you been living life with just putting it by the side, saying, I'll do it next week. I'll do it in 2020, Pastor. I'll do it next year. When my kids get a certain age is when I'll do it. Don't you know that I'll really be able to give to God when I get past this next hurdle, when I get the promotion? for our procrastination cannot determine our treasure. It only galvanizes what we are and where we are. The day today, the question is, God, is there a treasure? Are we the man that finds the treasure and is willing to sell all to gain everything? Or are we the man who owns the field who often says, I didn't even know? Would you begin to lift your hands and would you begin to talk to the Lord right now? Would you bow your heads? And I want you to begin to examine inward today. I want you to begin to ask the Lord, are you happy with me, with where my treasure is? I want you to ask the God, speak to me. Show me today, God. Show me where my treasure is, God. Help me today, God, to reorder my priorities, to realign with what is important, to realign to the passion of God, to realign to the things that, God, I'm willing to serve you. I'm willing to give it all up. God, I'm not going to do more for gold than for God. I'm not going to do more for the world than what I'll do for you today. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, I don't want to chase the applause and cheers of people and sacrifice, oh God, the things in which you've called me to. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, help me, God, to understand my priorities. Help me, God, to understand what you've given me. I don't want to be like Samson today. I don't want to be like that dynamic, God, and understand that I had it and gave it away. I discounted the call of God. I discounted worship. I discounted devotion. I discounted those things. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, right now, I want to begin to pray, God, speak to me today, right now. Help me, oh God. Maybe you need to repent today and say, God, help me, Lord. I haven't given you what you've given me. I haven't given you, God, to the degree. I haven't given you my talents. I haven't given you my treasure. I haven't given you my time. I haven't given you the things, God, that you deserve. For God, I'm sorry that I've gone through the motions. I'm sorry today. Let it be a prayer of repentance, and let it be a commitment to fall in love. Let it be a commitment to fall back into prayer. Let it be a commitment to fall into the Word. Let it be a commitment to serve God. Whatever it takes, God, I want to be the first one there and the last one to leave. I want to be giving it all to you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Would you lift it up? Why don't you find somebody and pray for them right now? Why don't you pray with somebody? Say, God, help them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, God, I want to follow you.
Lord, we lay our before your throne of grace right now in the name of Jesus. We stand before the altar, oh God. We thank you for the word that you've spoken to us in this place about an unknown treasure. And we thank you, God, that the children of old, the children of Israel, every time they went to the altar, oh God, you called them to be repentant. You called them to understand where they stood in light of you, oh God. You called them to give the very best at the altar. So, Lord, in this place, as your children today are standing before your altar of grace, we give our worst and we give our best. We give our hardship and we give our celebration. Lord, we give our pains and we give our victories. And we lay it at your feet right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that you give us divine perspective of our failures. You give us divine perspective of our treasures, where our heart is here on earth, Lord. And we pray, God, that your Spirit move over this place, that you help us to understand these treasures in light of the ultimate treasure, the treasure of Jesus Christ on the cross, oh God. We thank you, God. We thank you for your word that says that all men have sinned and fall short of God's glory, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, that you have brought us to a place right now. You brought us into a place to understand how we have idolized our earthly treasures, how we have idolized the things of this world, forgetting that the desires of this world will one day pass away. And so we ask, God, give us that divine perspective. Lord, we give those treasures right now. I thank you for that brother and sister in Christ who is looking upon their life right now and really thinking about these things, thinking about the things that they have idolized and elevated above their love for you, oh God. You are teaching us that in this place. And God, we lay it at your feet. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. For the true treasure that humanity has is in Christ Jesus. For God so loved the world that you gave your only Son, that whosoever believeth in you should not perish, but have eternal life. And so, God, I pray right now, and I thank you for those people in this place who are looking at those old earthly treasures, and they're saying, God, I give it to you right now. I give you my family right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my children. I thank you for my mother, my father, my disenfranchised relationships. I thank you for all those things, and I ask, God, that I don't treasure those things above you, oh God, because you are the hidden treasure in the field. You, oh God, are the one and only that brings value to our life. You are the one and only that brings identity into our life, oh God. So thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the propitiation of our sins. Thank you for the atonement, the atoning sacrifice of our lives. Lord, we think our own treasures are sacrifices, they are fleeting, and they are dwarfed in light of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ shows to us on the cross. So God, I pray that in the name of Jesus for our lives, Lord. I thank you that as you are shedding people right now of their earthly treasures, God, that you avail them to see the ministry that you have over their lives. God, that the scales of their eyes may fall and they may see the ministry that you are opening up to them, because now they are not going to be burdened by earthly concerns. Now they are not going to be burdened by earthly desires. Now they will not be enticed or overwhelmed by the anxiety of this life, because our life and our treasure is in heaven, oh God. For where our treasure is, there where our hearts be also. Lord, help us to understand where our hearts are. Oh God, we praise you. Oh God, we honor you. I thank you, God. I thank you for that brother that is no longer going to trust in his career to be the source of his identity. I thank you for that sister in here who is no longer just going to see herself as just another housewife, but she is a child of the King. God, that she does much more than raise children, that she does much more than go and earns money and runs a household, but God, that she has a treasure that she can proclaim in this world. God, I thank you for that woman right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for that person, Lord, who is seeing right now how their finances can be blessings to those who are oppressed. How can be those finances can be blessings to certain parts of the community. I thank you right now that you are showing that to somebody in this place. I thank you for that person in this place who has already been told that they are going to lead a small group. And I thank you for that man and that woman right now who is gaining that vision, because you are giving them a heavenly vision of their time. You are giving them a heavenly vision of their resources. You are giving them a heavenly vision of their families, oh God. Teach us to disciple our children. Teach us to understand our earthly treasures. Lord, teach us to have a kingdom-mindedness as we understand the things that we value in this world. Forgive us for our American sin of materialism. Forgive us for our American sin of individualism. Forgive us, Lord, for our failures, oh God. For you reveal to us our failures. But you don't do that for the sake of shaming us and degrading us and belittling us, because the ultimate gift given to humanity tells us where our value lies in your eyes. You gave your only Son for our salvation. And it is in that, God, we find our true value and our true treasure. Thank you for the word that our pastor and his anointing that he has proclaimed in this place may be piercing to our hearts, may be written on the tablets of our hearts, so we may go forth proclaiming your truth and revealing the kingdom of heaven is at hand, oh God. We honor you. Praise your name. Glory to you.
Here's what I want us to do right now. I want us to pray for somebody that's not in our comfort zone. I want ladies to go find a lady. And guys, I want you to go find a guy. Go find somebody you don't know. Maybe you don't know real well. Go find somebody. I want you to go find somebody. Here's what I want us to do.
I want us to pray for that person. And I want us to pray for them that God would help us as a body. Hear me today. The design of God is that we are here for each other. Amen. I don't know about you today, but I feel like I can always do more for the Lord. Amen. I feel like I do an awfully lot for the Lord. I'll just be honest with you. But there's times where I feel like God is my treasure in the right place. I may have a couple boxes checked off, but is it a box that I'm easy and good at? Oh, yeah, I can do that. If you have a good job, it's easy to write a check and say, well, there you go, Lord. Hey, I mean, imagine you're mad, right? If maybe you're really good at saying, you know what, I'm here to serve. There's people that they get here at 9:30 in the morning. Times they'll go and clean the ministry center. No one knows. Show up early to an event. Stay late. Be the first to leave. Last. For some, maybe time is an easy issue. I want you right now to understand treasure, talent, time. Whatever it is, I want you to begin to give that to God. Why don't you begin to lift your hands right now? And I want the Lord to speak to you, however it is. But I want you and the Lord to begin to say, God, today I'm going to make some commitments. God, I want to know you today. God, I want to please you. And this is what I want your prayer to be for your brother. I want your prayer to be right now. God, I want to please you in every area of my life. God, I want to please you in every area. Lord God, no area is off limits. God, I want you to pray for that person that you're praying with right now. And I want you to pray, God, help my friends. Help them. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what area they may exceed in. I don't know what area they may struggle in. But God, what I know is God, I want you to lead me and guide me. Don't let my treasure be unknown. Don't let my treasure, God, be by the wayside. Don't let my treasure, God, be unknown until it's too late. God, don't let me sacrifice what you're calling me for. Don't let me sacrifice my family. Don't let me sacrifice, God, my call. Don't let me sacrifice your will. Don't let me sacrifice worship. That's it. Would you lift your voice and let that pray right now? God, I understand. I have an opportunity to change it. I have an opportunity to make a difference. I have an opportunity to go to a new level. For Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, I want to have joy. I want to know. I want to follow. That's it, in the name of Jesus, God. Have your way right now. For Lord God, I want to be aware of your call on my life. I want to be aware of where I'm going. Why don't you just begin to tell him that right now? Lord, I love you, Jesus. Lord, help my friend to love you. Help my friend to know you. Help my friend to give him your all. Help us, oh God, that we as your church may please you, that we as the body of Christ please you, that God use us as a vessel to help other people. Oh, yes, God, yes, God. That's it. Would you make some commitments right now? God, help me. I'm willing to sow some roots. I'm willing to set a foundation. I'm willing to draw some lines in the sand. Yes, God. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Love, love, love the Lord with all, with everything, in every area. I give it all. Tell him that right now. I give it all. I give it all, Jesus. I give it all that I may gain it all.
This love is so
Jesus.
It's more than I
we love you right now. We thank you right now. That's it. Make some promises to the Lord. Make some commitments right now. I want you to begin to say, Lord, I commit to this right now. I'm going to commit to serve. Commit to serve, God. Commit to give, God, that I may gain.
This love is so deep.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
I'm melting your peace. It's
we love you right now. Now I wonder if you would just worship him one more time. I wonder if you would just